Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, GAA.
Can you really compartmentalize his hurling career from what happened afterwards and just talk about his hurling career as if nothing else ever happened? I don't think you can.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, it's just gone full time here at the Etihad Stadium. Really, really convincing win from Manchester City against Liverpool, who've had a dreadful start to the season. Let's just start with Liverpool today, Brian. We'll finish on a high note. But it did look like it had a bit of a mini resurgence, beating Aston Villa last weekend. Very good team who were playing well, and then beating Real Madrid in the Champions League. It looked like they might come here with their really high hopes.
Yeah, I'm sure they did come with high hopes, and it was an adventurous approach in the selection, leaving Wirtz in the team. And Nketiah is the front man, given that when we were here last in February, when they won 2-0, they played without an out-and-out centre forward, played Diaz and Salah wide, and it kind of Szoboszlai as a false nine with three midfield players behind them, including Curtis Jones. Whereas today, they went with an orthodox 4-2-3-1. But it didn't go for them. They were outplayed. They didn't really get into the game early on. And once Manchester City got the breakthrough, you were kind of hoping Liverpool might come back and get into the game for the sake of the game. But that didn't work out like that. Apart from the one corner kick they got in the first half and Virgil van Dijk's header, which went into the net. But they decided to... with the help of VAR, they decided that it was an offside goal. Linesman flagged for offside. I didn't agree with the decision. I think Andy Robertson ducked to let the ball into net, but he wasn't in the line of view of the goalkeeper. Neither did he attempt to play the ball. So I thought Liverpool were harshly done with that. But after that, Manchester City dominated the game. Got the second goal before half time. A good shot from Nico Gonzalez, short corner. Liverpool slow to react to get out to it. Cherki and Foden both got lots of time on the ball, able to play the ball to Gonzalez on the edge of the box. He had time to take a touch and then strike the ball quite well, and it clipped off Virgil van Dijk. But that time, it said you were dominating the game. Doku and O'Reilly were causing fierce problems down the left-hand side consistently from early in the game with the help of Foden on that side. And the Liverpool front lot, I'd say, were the front three, I suppose, were outclassed and outplayed, and they were just out-muscled at times. But a lot of energy about Manchester City today, and they were very good.
I think the one thing that will really disappoint Arne Slot is the fact that City won the midfield battle, as you said during the commentary. When you've got players like McAllister, Szoboszlai and Gravenberch in there, we thought they were in form as well coming into this game, but the fact that they were outplayed in there, that'll be a major disappointment.
Yeah, for sure. But tactically, I think Pep out-tacticked, if that's a make-you-up word, Arne Slot today by playing Foden and Cherki kind of fairly central to back up Gonzalez. But then he also got Doku dropping into the middle of the field as well, and there was times when they had kind of, with Bernardo Silva, they had five players there and Liverpool only had three, and then Bradley was tempted inside to try to pick up Doku or whoever was near him, and that usually left O'Reilly to break down the left hand side and cause them an awful lot of problems, which they never dealt with. Gravenberch was going out to try and help Bradley, who was getting tortured, I would say, by Doku, and then that left the gap on the inside for Foden. So it just, they didn't, individually they were beaten in all the man-to-man contests, I thought, but also just as a team they were more mobile, they were better on the ball, they were quicker moving the ball, and then there was always the threat of Haaland through the middle, which he hadn't done a huge amount until the goal, but he was involved in the game, there was no doubt about that. But the goal, it seemed like, my God, that's what he does. He just scores these fantastic goals off it. You know, it was a cross that you kind of expected the defence to deal with. And he just gets up above Kanate. I think he gave him a little bit of a nudge from behind. It wasn't a foul, but a beautifully guided header into the far corner, controlled header, looped into the far corner. It was a magnificent goal to open the game.
Kanate has been poor this season. I wonder, is this contract situation playing a part in that? He's out of contract at the end of the season. Talk that Real Madrid have been sniffing around him. The longer it goes on, you'd feel that must be a distraction for the player.
I think they have a lot more problems. They've also got Van Dijk is getting older. They didn't sign the centre back. Gomez is injury prone. He's on the bench today. Bring him on for a few minutes at the end in the right back position. But that was an area where they spent a lot of money on attacking players, and Isaac Ekitike and Wirtz over about 400 million or something on attacking players, and they didn't sign a defender when it even looked last year towards the end of last season like they needed another centre back. They moved on a couple of the fringy fellas who hadn't played too much in the centre backs, but yeah, that's a concern for them. Neither of the centre backs have played well up until now. They're probably more stable during the week. I think the clean sheet against Villa last week was the first clean sheet they'd had in 10 games. I mean, you can't really be in contention for titles if you're not having, you know, clean sheets. That's the basis for it all. The teams that concede the least goals usually win the league. It's not always the case, but you need to be there and thereabouts. You can't be conceding goals every game and thinking you can win 2-1 or 3-2 every match. There's a lot of days, you know, even go back to my own time managing Pats. I think in one season we won the league 89-90, I think we had 16 clean sheets.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Sheets, you know, like any team, it always is the basis, because what it gives you a point out of the match, no matter how badly you play. And then if you manage to get a goal, obviously you get 3 points. But that's the basis on all teams winning competitions, is that you've got to be able to keep clean sheets on a regular basis. And for that, you need good goalkeeper and good defenders and support from midfield, and your attackers prepared to sacrifice themselves defensively. And at the moment, Liverpool haven't got that. They haven't got that cohesion between the front, the middle and the back, and there's mistakes been made. But I think today was about,
you know, just last year, Liverpool, then Brian, 8 points between them and Arsenal now. Like, Arsenal are going to have hitches during the season, but is 8 points too much of a gap now for the champions?
Well, the problem with it is that they've lost 5 games, they've won 6 games, they've had no draws. So how many more games can they afford to lose this season with the league? The last 2 seasons, I pointed out in the commentary, they only lost 4. One season it meant that they ended up getting toured, and the other season they won the league, having only lost 4 games. But now they've lost 5 already, then they're going to draw a few and probably lose a few more over the season. Arsenal have only lost to Liverpool and 2 draws out of the 11 games so far. They've only dropped 5 points. So on that type of form, unless Arsenal have a big drop in form, and City look like getting into that rhythm where they can win 10, 11, 12 games in a row, Liverpool don't look like that. And that's what they're going to need to get back into contention. And in that, they will probably have to beat Arsenal again and beat Manchester City again. Because, the, you know, I think you pointed out at the end of the game, the commentary, it's not just that they're behind the Arsenal and Manchester City now. There's a couple of other teams even above them. I mean, Chelsea are above them.
Spurs, United, Villa, Spurs.
Spurs, they're all above them. So, you know, they're not all going to stop getting points. It's not just that they have to make up 8 points on Arsenal. They've got to make up whatever it is, 6, 7 or 5 on the other teams as well. They all can't keep losing. So I think it's going to be very hard for them. I think it, you know, there might be a team for the Champions League this year. They're already out of the League Cup, maybe the FA Cup, but you know, it's a huge disappointment for the supporters given how confident they were going into this season.
You talked a lot about Jeremy Doku before kick-off, Ryan, and he didn't let you down.
Well, it's not about letting me down. It's just sometimes I see players that excite me and yeah. I kind of go, well, can he improve? Can he get to the next level? The manager here is a very hard taskmaster, and last year he was very much an in-and-out player, didn't play all that on a consistent basis. But, you know, I've looked at his improvement. Obviously, they've done a lot of work with him. His decision-making has improved dramatically. He's much more variation in his play, whether he's out on the left wing, sometimes he drifts inside, picks her up on the inside, waits for the overlap in the winger for a full-back. At times, he goes inside the defender. Sometimes he goes outside.
Sometimes he goes between two.
Sometimes he waits for two of them to come back and does both of them. And then saw the magnificent goal he scored today. Absolutely brilliant goal, superb individual goal. So yeah, I thought, but you know, I think it was Pep's 1,000th game, and I think you pointed out before the match he'd won 700 and odd of those, more than, you know, and I think of his magnificent Barcelona team, and the team with Messi and Villa and Busquets and Xavi and Iniesta and the rest of them. And that was probably the best football team I ever saw. But when they were playing together with Barcelona, when they were playing with the Spanish international team, and the football they played, and you know, when they beat Manchester United in the Champions League final in Wembley, and some of the other finals when they won the three European Cups, it was just a fantastic team. And some of the football they played was just, it was art, it was so pleasing on the eye. And we've seen some of that with his teams here at Manchester City over the years. So I think today was a great day for him personally. For his, a lot of fuss about 1,000 games. I don't know how many games I had. I see a lot of fuss. It was, imagine League of Ireland celebrating 500 games, something like that. I don't know. Can you count the games you started when I had the team off Cooley Road in the under 13 and a half road leagues, and when I was 14? Does that, can I count that in my career matches?
Well, I don't think Pep counts Barcelona B matches, so
well,
I think they're ruled out.
No, I think they're the figures. Yesterday, I think he had 32 or something with them, Barcelona B, and then it was Barcelona and then Bayern Munich and Manchester. So you know, it's the tales, man. There was a big fuss in the programme about it, and rightfully so. He only won 29 trophies, but you know, I think the football today, he would have been delighted at that was, you know, his signature tune, his evolving mind, his
rebuilding a team.
Yes, and the search for excellence and artful football. Yeah. I talked before the match today about how the game has moved, and you know, I was reading Carragher's article yesterday, which was very interesting about, he thinks the game has gone backwards in this season, particularly because of the reintroduction of more direct and long ball football, and the teams spending a lot of time taking long throw-ins and taking set pieces and wiping the ball, and that the ball is not in play as much as, but you know, definitely the ball is not in actual play on the pitch for as long as it used to be. But today's game, there was no time wasting in the game today. There was no long throws. There was a bit of direct football. There was long balls from the back, but they were more or less direct passes over this area, attempted passes. They weren't just misguided missiles. They were obvious attempts to find the player either in space or directly with the pass. And it was a great game, and it was a compliment to the managers that they're sticking to the principles. But certainly, I think Pep Guardiola has got to be very, very happy today with the performance of his newish team. I said before the match that this match in February, they only had four of the starting players playing today, starting of the match. Liverpool, I think, had seven of the starting players, the outfield players, changing goalkeeper. But so his team has evolved and changed a fair bit since February till now. And I think it's a much better looking team today based on the performance we've seen.
And finally, a team that could win a title. I know they've got Arsenal there as well. So is it looking like a two-horse race between Pep Guardiola and his old assistant?
Well, I think Chelsea can't be ruled out. I think Maresca puts out different teams in different competitions. They were, you know, they were very poor against Quarterback the other night. 2-2 draw that Quarterback deserved in the Champions League. But then you see them in the league last week against Spurs. They were excellent. They played really, really well. So they can be a bit up and down. Chelsea, you know, I think they've lost three games and drawn two. So they may not have the consistency to mount the real challenge. If they play the best team every week in the league, and they played more and more often in other competitions, I think they'd be better than using the whole squad and playing the young players. Like they played Hato the other night in the match at Quarterback, and he just was young lad, good player, obviously at Ajax with great potential. There was a fault on both goals, and inclined to do that. Estevao, the right winger Brazilian, looks a real player. But you know, they seem to be at times in matches trying to fit players in to justify the spending or the potential or whatever, and I'm not sure the manager can do it all himself. I think he has a lot of voices in the background suggesting what they need to do, and the Chelsea model is not one that should be I'd be over admiring about. Sometimes I look at the team like, oh, who's he? I didn't know they had him. Where'd he get him from? I don't know the players, not familiar from. But they could still mount the challenge. But well, from what you said, I don't think the others you mentioned, Manchester United, Spurs, Aston Villa, don't think any of them have the consistency, although they all have very good technical players, but I don't think they have the consistency to match what we saw today from Manchester City and what we've seen from Arsenal on a regular basis. Almost very consistently this season, Arsenal have been very good or very effective.
Thank you, Brian. Poor old Carlos Puyol never gets a mention from that Barcelona team.
Because he was a great centre half. I saw him somewhere in recent weeks. And he was that. I was a picture on the wall in the restaurant in London. I mixed him up with someone else. But it was Carlos
Puyol. What a player.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Thanks for listening to us off the ball. We'll be in Budapest next week. I'll be there myself for updates from the Ireland-Hungary games. So do tune in to us next Sunday for all of that. Thank you.